This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Welcome to Radio EcoShock. We're going to plunge into the fevered world of dark conspiracy. We'll find the men who hate greens, the fringe media voices who call us to commit suicide. We must arrest hundreds of thousands of scientists for their role in the global warming hoax. We'll find out who is behind the scheme to turn the 9/11 truth movement, almost overnight, into the global warming denial network. Forget about 9/11. Our icon of hatred is now global warming. It's the terror face. It's Al Gore. No, it's the kingpin. The spider at the center of the web is... Not so fast. To begin my journey into the bowels of conspiracy, I first had to travel to a dark warehouse on the wrong side of Okayama, Japan. The 30-ish balding James Corbett awaits me. He seems shy, but as you'll find out, with a keyboard and a screen, Corbett is a lion against the climate. Mysteriously, Corbett hands me a slip of paper with three names printed on it. My arduous journey has begun. The first name is... I'm sorry, I'll have to blank out his image on radio because of death threats. Even though he's a huge, famous wrestler, the ex-state governor. Now...
People are going to become very, very wealthy, pushing this concept of global warming down the throats of the whole country and, for that matter, the world. And that it truly is going to be used to make money, not necessarily clean up the environment. And I mean, it took me back because I was a believer. I am a believer in global warming. But he gave me this sheet of paper with these three names on it. And he says, if you don't believe me, he said, talk to these three. And this is conspiracy theory.
Actually, that's from a cable series called Conspiracy Theory under the doubtfully named True TV label. It used to be called Court TV. Jesse sends his investigators, accompanied by the usual crime TV soundtrack, da-da-da-dum, out to discover the truth about 9/11, elite conspiracies for world control, and just in time for the Copenhagen Climate Conference, a hatchet job called Global Warming. According to the program, Guide Ventura, quote, uncovers evidence that leads to one man thought to be behind the global warming conspiracy, unquote. And hold your breath, boys and girls, until you find out who that giant behind this current is. If the tacky crime narration sounds familiar, it's the sound of Tyler Derrick, also heard in Most Shocking, the reality series showing crime footage from around the world, plus Students Gone Wild 2, Senior Smackdown 3, Eyewitness to Disaster, Liquored Up Ladies, and who could forget, Horror on the Highways 2, and Busted in the Buff. I knew that voice sounded familiar. All my favorite TV shows.
Still ahead, Jesse Ventura gets closer to the sinister forces behind the global warming movement.
He can explain the entire agenda, the move towards world government, the takeover of resources by megacorporations and the shadowy families that control them.
They're also out to control the way we live, from the cars we drive to the food we eat. Those suspects remain at large.
So Ventura's team trots off to a secret island to interview a man kept in the dark, allegedly due to the death threats he's received as a climate scientist denier.
Well, because the climate issue got picked up as a vehicle for the new religion of environmentalism and controlling people's behavior. And so, of course, if you're opposing their religion, then it becomes even nastier.
You've received death threats, your career has been stalled.
Tons of people adding comments to blogs identified the big bald head and voice as the Canadian climate scientist Tim Ball, a man who hasn't exactly denied himself the limelight. In fact, just a month before this conspiracy show aired, there is Tim Ball in full video being interviewed by James Corbett in Japan. So Ventura's secret cameo was all for show. The program is littered with secret facts available to anyone with a few seconds to spare on Google. It's a joke, right? Tim explains that the global conspiracy is out to push warming, which might be good for us, except we are cooling. Yep, that's what he says. Let's listen to a little Tim here, and then we'll get more from Mr. Ball in our next big name, a bigger fish in the game of diverting your attention.
So if global warming isn't man-made, why are they telling us it is?
Because they're using it as a vehicle for political control, control every aspect of people's lives, the number of children you could have, the number of people on the planet, where they can live, where they what they can drive, everything. If you can control carbon, you can control the planet.
The doctor says he was bullied, shunned, and worse.
Professor Ball, who does not hold a degree in climatology despite all his wild claims to the contrary, and hasn't published a peer-review paper in the field in the last decade or two, is disappearing from mainstream attention because he has been so thoroughly outed as heading supposed nonprofits receiving oil company money. Ventura's team goes on to every major climate denier. Professor Richard Lindzen gets an interview despite his known funding by energy companies and his love for the tobacco and asbestos lobby. On to British producer of the great global warming swindle, and of course Lord Monckton, who else? I guess they didn't have time for Fred Singer in a half-hour program, or is he passé? The whole thing devolves into bathos with nothing from the real science community and no defense for the accused. The only contact with the evil one, whose name I can't say yet, is a shot allegedly from outside his Beijing residence.
There's the list. Here it is with these three people. Go out and prove it wrong.
The three names on the paper come from Noel Shepard, the associate editor of Newsbusters and Planet Gore, more denial sites. Shepard believes his Russian sources who tell him global cooling is on the way. Sure. But Professor Ball is welcome on the radio show of our next suspect, the second name on the list. That is...
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones was born in 1974. He's a talk show host and video maker out of Austin, Texas. Jones goes out on radio through Genesis Communications Network, GCN, owned by multimillionaire gold seller Ted Anderson. They are now an ABC affiliate. That's right, Disney, with about 60 stations, including shortwave. But Alex Jones caught on to multimedia very early. His radio broadcasts are among the most listened to on the internet. And his rapid-fire mini-documentaries are big on YouTube and other sites. Jones encourages listeners, as I do, to copy his work and disseminate it to others. Alex Jones pictures himself at the center of a movement. It used to be the 9/11 truth movement, but that's changed. Jesse Ventura's episode on 9/11 was downplayed on the Jones site, prisonplanet.com, but the global warming show got top billing. Some regular visitors to the site complained, saying that Jones was covering 9/11 less and global warming more.
Your movement has been usurped by the very same financial interests you thought you were fighting against.
Talk about a movement being hijacked. How did 9/11 truth suddenly become anti-science? Think about it. Who is the demon combination that either let 9/11 happen or helped it happen? George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Now, both men are known to be oil industry types. George Bush owned an oil company in Texas backed by the Saudi royal family wealth, which went broke. Dick Cheney was CEO of Halliburton, the world's largest oil company supplier. But now the 9/11 truthers are supposed to support the Saudis, the world's largest oil suppliers, and home to 19 of the terrorists? To bring out the oil company line that humans, and especially oil companies, of course, are not harming the atmosphere. Bush and Cheney were Republicans. Now 9/11 truth has been turned into an agent of the Republican machine. The Republicans, like Senator James Inhofe, are leading the charge in denying climate change. 9/11 truthers, look on either side of you. The oil companies are standing on the right, and the Republicans, well, they're further on the right. Your old enemies are your new friends. And Alex Jones has a big dish of credit for turning this movement away from its origins. Let's face it, he was huge in 9/11, but now internet searches and news articles about the 9/11 attacks are fading out. Every movement based on a historical date faces this problem. Time goes by, people's interests change. Now most folks are concerned about the economic crash that started in 2008 and is still unfolding into who knows what around us. It is time to move on. Diehard 9/11 truther Mike Rupert resigned from the movement to take up the more important threat of peak oil. Alex Jones, whose wife Violet tracks DVD sales so closely, knows that 9/11 videos are beginning to sell less. We'll see a bump next year on the 10th anniversary, but after that, it's just history. Just Google 9/11 Truth and then climate change and count what you get. Whether it's fair or not, 9/11 is fading over the horizon off the hit parade. The new thing is climate change, and it threatens the gas-guzzling way of life so beloved by many American patriots. If a person could only provide a little denial, they might get back to more sales. Bingo. Alex Jones becomes denier-in-chief.
You got power, but because you look so stupid and so silly, everybody just makes fun of you and calls you environmentalist wackos. No, you're not wackos. You are the pale horse death. You are savage. You have power. And you are murdering people in mass. Congratulations. You wanted to be evil? You are evil.
Jones has bragged he has oil money in his family, a couple of oil wells maybe, a cousin in the oil industry. Alex has always denied peak oil theory as well. Jones has a basic ideology that helped him make this change. You need to listen to a couple of hundred hours of the Alex Jones Show to really understand this man. I've recorded all that for the fascination and the horror. The key to Jones, and the kingpin I'll reveal in a few minutes, is one man. He lived in a well-guarded compound in Virginia before entering an even more well-guarded federal prison for fraud, and there lies a story long in the telling. Lyndon LaRouche Jr. is an old man now, if still living when you hear this. In the 60s, he was a communist Trotskyite. Somehow, that morphed into what many have called a cult. LaRouche ran many times unsuccessfully for President of the United States, often calling himself a Democrat, although rejected by that party. The best book about him, Lyndon LaRouche and the New American Fascism, published by Doubleday and by Dennis King in 1989. I shall briefly read this paragraph from Wikipedia on Lyndon LaRouche. The British, led by the Jews, are in control of terrorism and drug networks, and it is the mission of LaRouche's NCLC to wipe them out. Daniel Pipes argues against Lerman that LaRouche's reference to the British really are to the British, though he agrees that an alleged British-Jewish alliance lies at the heart of LaRouche's conspiracism. Well, that ends the quote from Wiki, and I'm not going to handle that much further or cover that. I mean, LaRouche's complex connections with the Ku Klux Klan or known Nazi war criminals, too much for this spot. It's touching that LaRouche continued to see the Rothschilds in charge of the world, in a way they might have been justly accused at their European banking prime in the 1800s when they funded royalty. It's a worldview that rings slightly true to the truly uninformed. Later, as very Christian American wealth overwhelmed the world, LaRouche and his followers just sort of tacked them on to the Rothschilds' model. Somehow they think the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, who were very Baptist, were the same. Never mind all the new wealth since then, like Buffett and Gates, all the new billionaires created in America and abroad, they are magically part of the scheme for world control. Now we have mainland China as the largest holder of American treasury debt. We are asked to imagine the Rothschilds control all them as well. Oh, and by the way, the Rothschild named in the Ventura conspiracy thing, well, he's dead. He died in January 2009. You should have checked your facts there, Jesse.
Shame on you for bringing this to my attention. And I know this hurts you so, but I just had to let you know. Don't shoot the messenger.
Mr. LaRouche also had a long history as an anti-environmentalist. He arranged spying on one anti-nuclear group, the Clamshell Alliance, in New England. His forces ranged themselves against a ban on CFCs, and they included a scion of the DuPont family who helped fund them for years. There was a kidnapping of Louis Smith DuPont, or was it deprogramming from a cult? It's a lush tale. But LaRouche's vitriolic hatred of the Greens, especially Greenpeace, has passed on to his teenage listener Alex Jones. The switch came naturally to Alex and still fits within the simplistic worldview of an evil cabal of puppet masters at the top and no responsibility for the rest of us at the bottom. The idea of a complex, chaotic reality involving billions of humans in an ecosphere never occurs to these men. The hate goes on through Alex Jones.
Look, if humans are so bad, Suzuki, you little twit, you control freak, you fake intellectual, kill yourself. Stop saying kill African babies, punk. Man, you make me sick. Maurice Strong, hey, go jump off a cliff, you little effeminate twerp. Be right back. Stay with us, Dr. Ball.
Alex Jones also appears regularly as a guest on the much more popular radio program Coast to Coast AM. He's on his best behavior then. You don't hear him ranting like this.
Nobody can stop them. They're having their way with America. They want our guns. And if you're not with them, cops and military, then you will declare that you're with the Republic now. And don't tell me that I'm a weirdo because I'm upset about this and I should only go get upset about my favorite football team winning or losing. Listen, I know what tyranny means. I know the bankers are putting poison in our food and water. I know the bankers have stolen $8.5 trillion. I know we're under War Powers Act. I know they're hurting us. I know they're carrying out New World Order. I know they staged those terror attacks. You know what it's like to gut up to this and go out every day and go past the peer pressure and come out day one and say 9/11 was an inside job and lose most of the radio stations I was on? You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day? You know what it's like knowing you've ruined my life? You know what it's like? I'm tired of your crap!
I think Jones just comes to represent the current anger developing around white males in the late American period of empire, a kind of foil that both arms and disarms public action. Meanwhile, Jones flogs his video, soap, literally soap, nuclear alert, keychains, expensive water filters, and gold, 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 and say, if you need a little keychain to tell you that a nuclear explosion has happened near you, well, better check your hearing and your other senses. Well, the more frightened you are, and there's always a reason to panic, according to Alex Jones, the more gold you will buy, and that helps Ted Anderson and the network. Here is Alex with his network sponsor, Ted, supposedly a guest on the show.
I want to bring Ted Anderson up for this segment, part of the next, and then Tarpley's coming up. We'll get to all your calls. I just had that call around for 15 minutes because it was a lot of important questions. They're talking about, Ted, people need to get gold coins, and I just want to make it clear to the listeners that you have gold coins that you bought when gold was 50 bucks less than it is now.
Yeah, that's, well, I try to take advantage of everything I can, and when the prices get down there, I buy it up. Here's an example right here, and I've only got 30, and it's going to be a first-come-first-served thing. I've got Philharmonics. The Austrian Philharmonics. Right now, if I go into the marketplace and buy these from dealers, I pay $8.25. Right now, I can sell them to you guys for $800. I also have a bunch of $10 Liberties at $6.73. Frank coins at $1.98. You can't beat it.
Like all conspiracy theories, a small dash of truth is required. Sometimes, gasp, I agree with Alex Jones. Even Alex Jones makes it on RT, the Russian TV channel, which Vladimir Putin freely admits is a state propaganda agent.
And so why would they do that? I mean, why would they essentially make up global warming?
Well, we know why. We have the United Nations documents. We have the Club of Rome documents from 1991. A private group of banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and others are financing this. Ken Lay of the Enron fame in the mid-90s with Al Gore, this is on congressional record, in testimony, came up with the plan of a new form of derivatives that we've seen in banking that's caused all the problems based on carbon credits. And so it allows a select group of banks and brokerage firms to start buying and selling carbon credits on the world market and to create a whole new Ponzi scheme.
In my judgment, the cap-and-trade system with phony carbon offsets and pollution permits given out to big companies for free, it's a recipe for financial abuse and climate disaster. Probably Goldman Sachs types are drooling at the possibility for billions in profits from trading carbon credits. It may come as a shock to Jones and his new disciple James Corbett that many, many Greens do not support this capitalist scheme. In fact, Corbett, since you presume to tell environmentalists that we have all been taken over, I wish you would just come back home here. Come back home and try the West Coast and meet some real environmentalists, the ones who try to understand the science and who don't know any of the Rothschilds.
My name is George Hunt. I'm speaking to you from a video studio in Boulder, Colorado. I have attended some of the meetings and caucuses leading to the unsaid Earth Summit. When I served as an official host at a key environment meeting in Denver, Colorado in 1987, I was surprised to see David Rockefeller, Edmund de Rothschild, Secretary of State Baker, then Secretary of the Treasury, Maurice Strong, Waste Company Chairman and EPA Administrator William Ruckelshaus, UN Secretary General in Geneva, McNeil, and various World Bank and IMF officials there. What were the rich elite and bankers doing at an environment congress?
Still, I was intrigued to find out from George Hunt's 1992 film, also found on PrisonPlanet.com, against the UN Environment Conference, that Rothschild knew and cared about global warming back in 1987. The wealthy banker proposed a kind of tax on corporate profits to form a conservation bank to save the poles and the planet. How evil is that? I wish more of today's bankers were so bad. Here's a bit more from George Hunt, a Colorado man who took up the hate of Maurice Strong, whoop, I shouldn't have mentioned that, and appears, well, it's magic, in the Jesse Ventura climate hit piece.
The world order wants to create a new society out of the ashes of chaos. A collectivist fourth world complete with a collectivist religion, collectivist finance, and unchecked world national socialism. The world order will offer Gaia, Mother Earth, to the masses as the Big Brother image to worship in the fourth world. Maurice Strong has already set up a 140,000-acre project in Crestone, Colorado, to develop this Earth religion system. I hope I have given you enough information to expose the designs of the world order crowd. They hope to run the lives of people for generations to come. They are the same crowd who created a Hitler, arranged the assassination of Lincoln and Kennedy.
Enough. I have finally named him the man who secretly runs the universe. It's Webster Griffin Tarpley. Laugh if you will. Tarpley is the living link between the aging LaRouche and the younger fringe media, including Alex Jones. Alex has told us a few years back that he grew up listening to Lyndon LaRouche in his home for 12 or more hours each and every week. He practically teethed to the never-ending lectures about cynical domination by the British Jews. Let's hear the two compadres, Jones and Tarpley, recite the theory again on GCN. And I ask my Canadian listeners to withhold their laughter, if they can, until the end of the clip. Deep down in Texas, we find out how the Queen runs Canada.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, December 5th, 2008. For the next 50, no more than an hour, we're going to have Webster Tarpley in. But he was listening out in the green room when I was covering Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament, and we just went live at PrisonPlanet.tv, so I'll recap that for the viewers out there. Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament, and it says Governor General Michelle Jean, the representative of the Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state, agreed to Harper's request to shut down Parliament. But this is imperium here, because she is the head of state, and Canadians and Australians and others in the 20-plus Commonwealth nations always say, oh, well, that's just figurative, that's just ceremonial, her as the head of state. No. If you read the charters of these Commonwealths, it is the parliaments that are ceremonial, and it is the Queen's governorship, or through her governors, that is actually the power. So there it is in Reuters, and every time I mention these reports, people just don't believe me. And Webster Tarpley's written books on the British Imperium, written many articles on it and its form of government.
Under the Canadian and indeed British Commonwealth system, the Queen is the head of state of all of these places, and it's about 70 countries. It's a huge group. And in the case of Canada and Australia, we have these royal governors general. And the royal governor general is the guy who's just done this, this guy, Governor General Michel Jean. So he's the personal representative of the Queen. And you can see that he has more power than the Parliament and the Prime Minister, meaning that we had this agitation in Canada in the 1960s and 70s, saying that the Constitution had to be repatriated, right? They wanted to bring the Constitution home to Canada, and it turns out that was not done. I would say for people who have trouble with this concept, there are two examples. You can see that the Queen actually runs the show. One is in the Canadian NAFTA debate, in other words, to get the North American Free Trade Agreement passed, the Queen named new senators to the Canadian Senate to stack it, right, to pack it, to make sure that there was a
majority.
That's
right, they're supposedly going to be elected, but as soon as they didn't go the way she wanted, she came
she
in.
She packed it.
Yeah.
Right, because, see, what the Queen represents, the Queen is not, she's not somebody like Stalin, but she doesn't have all power, but she represents the oligarchy as a whole. In other words, she's the spokesperson. She's the doge, if you like, or the dogaressa.
But she does have Stalin-esque. She just doesn't want to use the power, because then that reveals that these parliaments are really ceremonial.
All right, for our American listeners, the evil Governor General is not he, it's she. Michelle Jean is a Haitian-born Canadian woman. The Canadian Constitution was repatriated by an act of the Canadian Parliament on December 2, 1981, decades ago. Boink, wrong again. Oh yeah, and the Queen did not and does not choose any senators who have never been elected in Canada. Senators, when an opening becomes available, are chosen by the Prime Minister of the elected government. Completely misinformed nonsense from two American bobbleheads, and these are the guys you are supposed to believe on global warming science. Most laughable is the idea that the Queen runs Canada, its bureaucracies, and the Parliament is merely decorative. Rolling in the aisles comic reporting from the twin LaRouches on GCN. Canada salutes your comic genius. Tarpley was a spokesperson and press agent for Lyndon LaRouche and the organization for years. He held various positions, including host of an in-house TV program, finally branching out more on his own in 1996. Now Webster Tarpley also has a radio program on GCN where he lashes out at the Zionists and compares President Obama to Hitler and worse. The program is called World Crisis Radio, and believe me, it's always in a crisis when you listen to Webster Tarpley.
And the envelope, please.
And why do I name Webster Tarpley as the Grand Master of it all? Because it makes as much sense as Jesse Ventura's ultimate target of Maurice Strong. Maurice has been a whipping boy of LaRouche, Alex Jones, and Webster Tarpley for years. He's practically a nobody on the environmental scene these days. He's old. He's living in China. Ventura is buddies with Alex Jones, and the whole thing just passes on by osmosis. A good opportunity for a fake reality cable series.
Hello, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 29th of November 2009. Indeed, there is an agenda at work where financial oligarchical interests are consolidating their power in unaccountable international institutions in the name of fighting this man-made climate change scare. And just as the clouds seem the darkest and the forces arrayed against us seem the strongest, we have been handed the keys to the gate, so to speak, in an effort to combat their spin and propaganda. And that is the Climate Gate scandal.
Meanwhile, over in Japan, hoping to get past his paycheck-to-paycheck living teaching English, James Corbett launches ClimateGate TV. It's pretty slick, as a gathering place for every anti-global warming video he can find. Corbett produces his own podcast and would-be radio show called The Corbett Report. He's even interviewed Alex Jones. It's a pity, though. So-called ClimateGate will disappear like a wisp of media froth as the world marches on. Corbett's defining moment has been weighed by the world's scientists, governments, and media as, well, nothing much at all, really. James, you were doing much better as a 9/11 guy. I liked your video on repressive Japanese demands of ID cards for foreigners. But the video headline you have now, A Really Inconvenient Truth, No Atmospheric CO2 Rise in 150 Years, is laughably wrong. We can prove that CO2 has gone up. It goes up every year. It's either a beginner mistake or the usual desperation to grab at any straw, no matter how wrong. Take it down, James. It's an embarrassment. Of course, once you believe the Queen runs the world, there's little shame left. It isn't the environmental movement that has been taken over, James. It's the 9/11 truth movement that's been turned into an oily Republican machine that denies good science. And that's too bad. There are a lot of good people who have deep questions about 9/11, and I'm one of them. But we know that the science is not lying about climate change. Our senses aren't lying to us, James. Everybody loves a good conspiracy theory, even a bad one, until reality blows up in your face. Then it's time to deal with the real world, which isn't that simple. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Download all our past programs from our website, ecoshock.org.